What a blessing that was. If you would now put your songbooks away and get out your Bible. Amen. Get your Bibles out. Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. What a tremendous, tremendous passage of Scripture chapter 1 is in revealing who Jesus is and how He came into the world. This is John's account of Jesus being born. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. John chapter 1, let's start reading in verse 1, we'll read down to verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before You this morning, what a blessing it's already been just being here in this place. Thank You for Your presence here. And Lord, I trust that each and every one of us here have sensed Your presence amongst us. Thank You for what we've already received in the message of song. But now, Father, as we look into this passage of Scripture in John in chapter 1, there's so much here, and I know that You have a message for each one that's here today. I pray that You would just give each one that ear to hear what You have for them. I pray that You would use me once again as an instrument in Your hand to bring forth Your message to Your people from Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The last few weeks, we focused on Jesus' birth. What December and December 25th is what, a day that we as a Christian nation set aside to acknowledge the fact that there was a day when God became man. And we preached on that subject, that very thought, that God, understanding who God is, and He became man. And then we preached last Sunday morning on 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, where it says that Jesus was manifested that He might destroy the works of the devil. That was a powerful message, and that's one that we all need to understand, that one of the things that Jesus did and continues to do in our lives is He destroys the works of the devil. And we broke down some of the works of the devil and how we are able to get the victory over those things. But then this week, right before Christmas, we look here in John in chapter 1. And in John chapter 1, it reveals much about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that everyone needs to know that Jesus was and is God. He was just not a divine individual. He was deity. He was God. The Word, the Bible says right there, the Word was with God and the Word was God. And then it says in verse 14, the Word was made flesh. That was God being made flesh, coming and living in human flesh to reveal what life God would have us to live. As an example for us in Christianity, Jesus Christ is the ultimate example of Christianity, a godly life. And Jesus revealed that, and He was a model for us to look to. So everyone needs to know that Jesus was and is God, and as God, we need to know that He created everything that has ever been created. In verse 3, very clearly, it says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus, The very one that we look to as an example for how we live our lives and example to follow after, this was God in human flesh. This was God who created all things. And somehow, some way, and we can't fully comprehend it all, but He came in human flesh. What a blessing there. But possibly the most important thing that we need to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ is found in John chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe possibly the most applicable thing. The Bible says in verse 4, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." His life brought light to humanity. Some 2,000 years ago, it was prophesied way before then. But 2,000 years ago, it happened. God became man, and His life, the life of Jesus Christ, brought light, revelation, an understanding to purpose for life, an understanding to what this life is all about, an understanding to all things. The life of Jesus Christ brought to us and continues to bring to us light. In John's Gospel in chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus says this. In verse 8, let me just read it to you. The Bible says, "Then spake Jesus unto them, saying," this is what Jesus revealed. John wrote it down. "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." Outside of following Him, the light that He revealed, we're living and walking in darkness. And so, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And He came to give us a more abundant life, a greater life than what we could ever live, even here, without Him. And then, of course, we have that eternal life. But Jesus, His life brought light to us. Jesus, as a creator, gave physical life. Physical life, the life that we are born with, the life that is given in the womb of the mother. The Bible says that comes from God. Children are a heritage of the Lord. God has chosen to use mom and dad and their characteristics to form the physical aspects of that life. And you can see that in seeing how that child looks like their parents. But God is the one that puts the spirit, the life, into that body that makes it a living soul. God does that. God gives life. All life comes from God. And so we find here that Jesus, as a creator, gave physical life, and Jesus, as a savior, gives spiritual life. John 8:12 again reminds us that without Him and without looking to Him and following Him and His light that He reveals to us, we face death and darkness. Your life without Christ and without... Now, in America, can I tell you that anyone that's born in America, that's raised in America, has been influenced by the light of Christ. America, don't let anyone tell you any different. This was established as a Christian nation. That's why we have the Christian calendar. That's why we have put on our calendar that December the 25th to acknowledge the fact that Jesus came. God was manifested in the flesh. That's why we have the holiday, the date that we set aside and look at as a resurrection of Jesus Christ on Easter. That's why even in our currency, it goes back, in God we trust. There's no doubt about it. You go back over the history of America and it is Christ. He's the one that America has looked to and prayed to give us the victories and the battles that we have fought. There's no doubt since 1776, that this has been established by God as a Christian nation. Don't lose sight of that. And anyone that's been raised in this Christian nation has been influenced by the life of Christ, because our laws that we live by, the Constitution that makes up the laws of our land and what governs this America, was based upon the Bible. That's why we had the Ten Commandments in government offices. That's why it was established by what God said, and our belief in God and belief in the commandments of God and the ways of God. And so even an atheist raised in America has been influenced by a Christian nation, which takes away darkness. But if we don't follow Christ, then we will face death, and we will face a life without Him is darkness. God designed light that light will always overcome darkness. Now, that's just God's design. If you have light, darkness cannot extinguish light. Light will shine brighter in greater darkness. If you have a light, I could light a match here, and the light, and you could possibly see that light, the brightness of that light, but then if we turned off all the lights, that one match would shine brighter. The darker it becomes, the brighter the light. That's why in the daylight, you look up, you can't see the stars. Are they not there in the daylight? Are there no stars in space during the daytime? No, they're still there. But you can't see them because it's light. You know when you get a chance to see the stars and the light that they shine is when it's dark. The darker it is, the more stars you can see. The brighter their light. God designed that. God designed that because He wanted us to understand light. Light will always overcome darkness. If you have the light, you can overcome the darkness. His life brings light to humanity. I want you to leave with that thought. His coming, the example that He lived, that He set for us for 33 years, the teachings of Christ that have withstood the test of time for 2,000 years, they've been preached. For 2,000 years, His church has remained strong, that has grown. For 2,000 years, the life of Christ has impacted this world like no other life. His life brings light to man. The light that Christ brings to the physical life, I want to deal with that for just a few minutes, because He gives life, and His life, His light affects physical life. In Luke in chapter 12, Jesus was teaching them about the importance of this life that we live today. And He gave the parable of the rich fool. And the rich fool put all of his time and effort into wealth. And as he was making a lot of wealth, his crops were doing good. And so his mind, what I need to do is just build bigger barns, gather as much as I can, and then just lay back and enjoy what I've accomplished on this earth. Lay back and enjoy the wealth that I have received. And then after Jesus reveals that, then we find that He says to them, He says, "But God said unto him," verse 20, "Thou fool," because that's not the light that Christ revealed, that brings to us. It's not the light, that's not how He wants us to live our lives, our physical lives. And he said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" You've lived your whole life to provide for retirement. You've lived your whole life to provide for you to sit back, and before you're ever able to do that, you're going to die. What has your life accomplished? You lived it in darkness. Didn't have any meaning to it. You did not have any lasting effects from it. Life is more important than that. The physical life that we live. And Jesus reveals that. In verse 21, he says, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." The light that he brought is, you need to be rich toward God. Live your life here to be rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or neither for the body what ye shall put on." The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. If we would get a hold of that principle, if we would leave here realizing that, it could revolutionize your life. It can make your life so much better. The light that Christ brings to physical life. Our personal physical life, is it about food and raiment? Is it about gathering all the wealth of this world that I can gather? In 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, what God had for the church at Corinth is the same he has for Lighthouse Baptist Church today. And we read what the word that Christ brought. Amen? Christ, the word, that's God. This is God's word. And so we read it, and it's what gives us light in this physical life. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20, he says, "What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost?" If you're looking to Christ and you've received him as your Savior, he's come within you, and now your body is become, it houses God, because the Holy Spirit of God comes to dwell within you and seal you until the day of redemption. And so you have that. It says, "Know ye not your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own. For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." The life of Christ brought this light to help us to realize that our physical life and our physical bodies are here to glorify the Lord. If we live by this, can I tell you, we'll live a healthier, more productive life. If you stop and think that your body, understanding the light that Christ says, give to us, he revealed to us that your body is a temple of God. God dwells within you and you're to keep it holy. Can I tell you what? You're not going to get involved in things that will destroy the body. You're not going to have to worry about cirrhosis of the liver from too much alcohol, because you'll turn away from alcohol. You'll realize that that is not something that pleases God. That is not something that glorifies the Lord. That destroys the body. That's something that Satan's trying to use to destroy life. And he uses it to destroy many of people's lives. Through the addiction of drugs and alcohol, can I tell you, that destroys the life that you have. If your life is all about drugs and alcohol and even sexual activity, if that's what your life is about, listen to me, it will eventually destroy your life. And that is walking in darkness. And you're going to face death. What does an alcoholic have to accomplish? He looks back over his life. What have you accomplished as being an alcoholic? What have you accomplished as being a drug addict? What have you accomplished as just giving yourself to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life? What have you accomplished? Can I tell you, nothing that matters. But if you look to the light that Christ gives concerning your personal life, you'll be a healthier individual. You'll be a more confident individual. You'll be a more successful individual in God's eyes, no matter what your success is in this world. The light. The light will bring, just think about the light that it brings to our family life. Can I tell you, this world needs a little bit more of the light of Christ in the home? Colossians in chapter 3. Most people are living in darkness in their home. I'm not saying you're didn't pay your electrical bill, so you don't have electricity come into the house. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about how you live in your home. God has a plan. He shed light on our homes, our home life. Colossians in chapter 3 and verse 18. Wives, now this is not preacher's light, this is God's light. It's what Christ revealed. It's the word. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, and don't lose sight of this, as it is fit in the Lord. That's very important. We don't have time to preach on that, but that's God's plan. Husbands, this is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. The husband is commanded to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And this is the big one right here. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Wow. That's the light that he sheds. That's the light that comes into our home. If that were in your home, would it change your home? For you as a lady to know that you have a husband that would lay his life down for you. For you as a wife, knowing that your husband is wanting to meet whatever needs you have and wants to love you unconditionally and to provide for you and take care of you. And as a husband, to know that your wife is looking to you and honoring you and respecting you and are wanting to follow you as you follow the Lord. And for children to actually do what you tell them to do, what a difference that would make. And children would do what you tell them to do if you raise them the way God says to raise them. The reason children are rebelling against mom and dad and they don't do what mom and dad tells them not to do is because mom and dad are not raising them as God says to raise them. If you had that light in your home, think it'd make a difference? The life of Christ brings this light to us. The light Christ brings, think about what we'll do concerning our church life. Because he established the church because he knew that it would be what those who looked to him and wanted to follow him would need. Hebrews in chapter 10. Hebrews in chapter 10. This is just the word which reveals the light that the life of Christ brought. Amen? Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. He says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Now, he says, if you're living by faith and you're holding on and you're holding fast to the Word of God, that's going to make a difference in your life. That's what God wants us to do. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, Now stop and think about that. If when we come to church, we are provoked into love and good works instead of provoked into anger, provoked into revenge, provoked all to all the darkness of the world. But when you come to church, you have a church family that love one another and prays for one another and are there to be an encouragement to one to another, to look to the light and live as God would have us to live. Once you experience that, you don't want to live life without it. The reason you don't want that is because you've never experienced the true light that being in church and serving God and worshiping God brings to your life. You might have been in church and you might have had pitiful experiences in churches. Don't blame that on God. God's given us the Bible for you to make sure that you're in a good church. If the church is not preaching and teaching the Word of God, if the church is not run according to the Word of God, if the church is not honoring God in what it does, listen to me, that's not the church that God wants you in. You need to be in a church that you know God is in. And when you come to church, you sense it. It'll do something for you. You have a church family that makes a difference in your life, that prays for you. And when you're sick, you get cards and you get phone calls. You're encouraged. You're provoked into love and good works. The light Christ's life brought to us concerning a church life is part of the blessings of a physical life that we live. Been pastoring, been in the ministry now for 35 years. Next year, I believe it's going to be our 29th anniversary at this church. It's my life. And can I tell you, I wouldn't choose anything over it. There is no other kind of life I would want that this world offers. It's the will of God. And it has brought me and my wife and our family throughout the 35 years of ministry blessings that we would never have experienced anywhere else. It was the life of Christ that brought that light of being a part of His church into our lives. Once you experience that, you don't want to be without it. You don't want to be without a church family, a church home. You don't want to go through a week without being assembled together to worship Him, to sing praises unto His name. You don't want to be without a ministry to be able to serve and experience the power of God working through you to help other people. It's the light. The life of Christ brought that light. It'll make a difference in our physical lives. But not only will it make a difference in our physical lives, but as we move on, it will make a difference in our spiritual life. His life brings light to spiritual life. His life brings the light of being born again, which is the beginning of spiritual life. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18 to 23, and then John chapter 3 with Nicodemus. Nicodemus being a religious man, he came to Jesus because he was religious, but he was not experiencing the kind of abundant life that Christ was giving to those that were looking to Him. He says, I have religion, but I don't have that. How do I get that? And Jesus says, Nicodemus, there's only one way. You got to be born again. Nicodemus says, my understanding being born again, you mean I got to go back into my mother's womb? How is that possible? He said, no, Nicodemus, that's not what I'm saying. He said, that was born of the flesh is flesh. That gave you physical life. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That'll give you a spiritual life. There's got to be a point in time in your life when you yourself realize you're dead in your trespasses and sins. And without Christ, you're on your way to a devil's hell. But somebody helps you to understand that Jesus wants to give you a gift. It's a gift of everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And when you understood that, you said, I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe that he resurrected from the grave. I believe that he is sitting at the right hand of God today, ever living to make intercession for me. I want to receive the gift that God has for me. And when you cry out to God and you believe in him and you receive him, you have been born again. The Spirit of God comes to dwell within you. And it's his Spirit in you that gives you spiritual life. The life of Christ brings the light to spiritual life. There's no other way than through the blood of Christ. That's why he had to die on Calvary's cross. That's why we look back to the point when he died. That's why we have the cross to remind us. The symbol of the cross. Notice Jesus is not on that cross. Amen. He's not on the cross. He's not in a tomb. He resurrected. He's ever living to make intercession for you. Can I tell you that's spiritual life? His life reveals the light of being born again. And being born again, that very same life brings light to the fact that we have access to God. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 10 and verses 19 and 20, and then chapter 4 and verses 14 to 16, I'm not going to go there for sake of time, but it reveals to us that Jesus himself, as a great high priest, he suffered and died for us. He brought in a new and living way. A new and living way. We don't have to go through a priest to get to God any longer. Old Testament. But because of salvation and the indwelling of the Spirit of God, I can go to God at any time. I have access to God 24/7. Jesus revealed that. And he says, and I want you to do this. When you have access and you realize you have access, call him your heavenly Father. Don't call anyone else Father on this earth when it comes to spiritual relationships. Bible says that. Jesus taught that. He said, call him your heavenly Father. You have access to him. That's the holies, the holiest of holies, the very presence of God. If you're saved, you have that. Whew. That's light. When you're thinking, no one understands what I'm going through. Get in that prayer closet and it's just you and God. You never want to be without that. You never want to be without knowing I have access to God and I can get away from any other kind of influence and get alone with God in my prayer closet. And God hears me. And God listens from the heart. Sometimes I don't know how to put it in words and I say, God, you know. And I'm confident he does know. He knows me better than I know myself. And I'm able to commune with God. I'm able to have that relationship, that walk with him. Once you experience that, you don't want to be without it. His life brings light to spiritual life. It brings the assurance of an eternal home in heaven. Once you have that, you'll never want to lose that either. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When this physical life is over because of my spiritual life, I don't die. I graduate to even a fuller life. That's what it is. I will never face death. This physical body will deteriorate and this physical body will stop functioning at some point. But when this physical body dies, when it stops functioning, it opens up the spirit to go to immediately be in the presence of God. You say, well, where is that? It's wherever Jesus is at. That where I am, there ye may be also. Amen. Can I tell you, that does something for a person to know God is watching over me. And when it is time for him to call me home. My time on this earth is over. I have a more abundant life to look forward to. I have a place of heaven in the presence of God that I know I'm going to go to and spend an eternity. That will do something for you in this life. The life of Jesus brings that light to us. Go back with me, we're going to close. John chapter 1. All those things are the light that Jesus' life brings. But then we have verse 5, which is a very sad verse. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. His life brings light to man, but you have to accept it. And sad thing is that many will reject it. They want to live in darkness. Bottom line is, they don't want to change. Whether it's, I don't want to change my religious thoughts. That was his own, the Jews. In verse 11, the Bible says he came to his own. That was the nation of Israel. And his own received him not. Israel said, no, we're good with living in the Old Testament. We're good with the way we have established our religion. And we don't want to change. And so we're going to reject it. Jesus is not the Christ. They chose to live in darkness. Some will say, it's just not for me. That life is not for me. I enjoy my alcohol. I enjoy my drugs. I enjoy my sexual perversion, whatever it might be. And that's what I'm going to hang on to. The light shined in darkness, and the darkness said, I want to stay in darkness. I don't want the light. Comprehended it not. Some want to continue to rely on their human comprehension, on the wisdom of human intellect. There's really not a creator God. If it was left up to the human mind, evolution makes as much sense as anything else. I would rather believe in evolution. This is a human mind outside of the influence of God. I would rather believe in evolution because I can just answer all the questions and fill in all the holes with millions and billions of years. You don't know what can happen in millions and billions of years. And so it just happened to be millions and billions of years that has brought us to this point. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what Jesus came to reveal to us. But the Bible revealed in Romans chapter 1, they didn't want to know God. God turned them over to a reprobate mind. Darkness comprehended it not. Can I tell you this morning, we must by faith factor in the life of Christ and the light that He gave. When you factor that in, and it's not hard to see that, especially in America. It's not hard to look back over history and see how his life has impacted this great nation. And by faith, factor in the life and the light that he brought. You'll want to have what he wants to give. His life brought light. But what will you do with it? What are you doing with it? Why not receive the light? If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. No doubt that he lived. Impacted this world, historians will tell you. No doubt. But have you received the light, the revelations, the insight, the truth that he brought to man? If you don't, you'll live in darkness and you'll face eternal death. This morning, wasn't by chance, somehow, someway, God worked the circumstances for you to be in church. God worked it out for you to be in this church where you would hear this message. God wants to speak to you through that message. Let the light shine. Let what God has for you penetrate your heart and your mind. Accept it and apply it this morning. Receive the light. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the loving us. So thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for that word becoming flesh and revealing to us the light that we have concerning all things. I pray this morning, God, right now, during this invitation, that you would speak to each one that's here as they have need to be spoken to. And God, that before they would leave, they would come to this altar, make the decision to receive the light. No doubt there's some here today that need to get saved, spiritually born again, receiving spiritual life here today. Others that have received it, but yet they've turned away from it. They've covered the light. Lord, I pray that they would let the light shine once again. They would remove the blinders that Satan has put on them, and they would see the light and make decisions based upon it. Work in our midst now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.